are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
I just wanted to share for a few minutes on the subject of joy. It's joy. It's nice to be around people who are joyful, am I right? We enjoy those people. We enjoy being around those people. People who lift you up instead of put you down. People who are like warm sunshine on a cold winter's day, you know? You know those people? I know sometimes people who are so positive can be a bit like, all right, just leave me for a second. But on a good side of things, and when I was thinking about joy, man, it just immediately made me think of this. Thanks, Annalise. You got that? Yeah, of Honey Joys, right? Anyone? Yes? Yeah. This is actually a Honey Joy cupcake. Like, yeah, bring on that. And the part about Honey Joys is great is the honey brings the joy. And I could eat kilos of honey every single day because it's so amazing. It brings me joy to eat honey in the sun. If you look over the side walls, we've been making our way through, if you're visiting with us tonight at church, a series called Jesus Is, and we have filled that board from the start of the year with all these different words about not only who Jesus is, but what he brings to our lives as we trust in him. And we've made our way through, and I'm going to speak on probably third smallest, because I know you're going to look. Smallest word is right next to perfect up there, that little word, joy. We're going to talk about that tonight. And so my title is, Jesus is our joy. He really is our true joy. Thank you, Pat. He is our joy. So let's just pray. Let's just turn our hearts towards him as we're ready to hear from him tonight. Father God, we thank you that we just get to come to church so freely tonight. Father, we thank you for the time that we've already had in your presence, for those amazing songs where we can just sing, Jesus, we love you, and that is the cry of our hearts. And Father, I just pray that as we hear these words tonight, we would just open ourselves up, open our hearts up to hear what you have to say to us tonight, because we know that as we open your word, that it is not the words that come out of our mouths that are speaking, but it is you speaking to us. So Father, have your way in us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So joy, it's one of those words that often comes out at Christmas time. We want to feel joyful at Christmas time, or perhaps when we think about going on holidays with not much to do and just sitting and relaxing. And as a parent of young children, that is, oh my goodness, the joy that that would bring to our lives right at this moment would be amazing. Or it's pleasurable experience or even experiencing happiness. We associate that with joy. But I wonder if we actually truly understand what joy actually is based on God's definition, based on what the Bible says. And there are many different words that as we bring them, if you were to take a dictionary meaning of this, would be a bit different. It would be expanded if you shone the lens of your Bible or what God says into that word, it would unpack and have a hugely different meaning. Love is a good example of that. Love we throw around so easily in society today, yet what God says about love is so much beyond what we think of it. Joy is another one of those words, and I thought of hope and I thought of justice. There are so many other things that God has a very different meaning for than what we see in the world today. And so as I said, we see it being about happiness or pleasure. Things that make us feel good are what we describe as being joyful. But as a believer, as a Christian, it's joy that is not just based on our circumstances, but it's joy that it penetrates deep into our souls. Am I right? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? That joy that is really deep into our souls. And it's a joy that, as we'll see later, it can actually remain throughout the tough times that we inevitably face in life. Because I'm gonna give you an example here that when we tie our joy to our circumstances, then sometimes that can be ripped away pretty quickly. And I've got a little video to show in a second of what that looks like. And it's what can be instant joy can be taken away instantly as well. Things like having a nice warm bath is great on a cold day, right? I don't know, some people are into that. Like, or sitting down, like having a cold drink after a hot day's work. Like, yes, give me that. Or even for people traveling and seeing the beauty of nature and the beauty of the world. Like, that can bring us joy, instantaneous joy. But in a moment, unfortunately, that's life sometimes. It can be taken away. And this, to set up this video, we're out. We have, Cass and I have three kids, Judah, Olive, and Roman. And this is a video of Olive. Olive gets all the stories, doesn't she? And we were out and we went to a burger store, funnily enough. And we had these things called ice cream burgers. And so basically it's a burger bun, two sides, and then a ball of ice cream, deep fried and put in a burger. It's delicious. It's really good. And so she was, yuck. Man, everything about that is good. and so we went to this shop and we set it up and we were so excited about this burger. And she was filled with excitement and joy. And then this.
Good work, Ollie.
Well done, eating over your plate too. No, you can't.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, so in an instant, that joy was totally taken away. It wasn't a big deal, right? But she was trying so hard. And it just fell over. And I don't want to compare, you know, some of the hard things that we go through in life to dropping a bit of ice cream out of a burger. But here's the difference. When we know Jesus, joy can remain even through the toughest of times. Even through the toughest things that we face, joy can remain. And this is really important thing to know about true joy. And it's the joy that we find in God's word. And in the book of James, we're going to read it. He speaks to this very point. James 1, verse 2 to 5. We're going to have it on the screen. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Circle that word if you've got your Bible out. Steadfastness is what is produced, which is resolutely firm, which is unwavering. "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." It goes on in verse 5. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all, without reproach, and it will be given to him." And so is he actually saying that we should be asking for trials? Like, should we be seeking out trials and tough times in our life? Not at all. God is not a God who wants us to be miserable through life. Am I right? Like, is there any amens to that? He does not want us to be miserable through our life. Jesus has not called us into a life of misery, a life where we're just looking and asking for trouble to be dumped upon us. But what Jesus is saying is that he knows that in the world, no matter how hard we try to avoid them, and we try pretty hard to avoid them sometimes, we will encounter trials of various kinds. And if we were to take a poll around this room about what trials you're going through, I think as many people in this room would be the amount of trials that we find ourselves facing. If you were to go over to the other side of the world, you visit Uganda and ask them what are the trials that you are facing, they are so different than what we face here. Yet everyone, this speaks to everyone, we all will face trials of various kinds. But here's the key, that it's our perspective of the trials that enables us to make it through them with joy. It's our perspective. I thought about this when we've got three kids, and when we had our second child, it was a beautiful, the labor that mums go through. Like, good on you guys. Oh, wow. Good on you. Worth fainting over, right? I fainted at my third child's birth, by the way. It's great. But with our second child, you go through the labor, and obviously there's a bit of pain that goes on. Do I hear any amens from the ladies? No. Oh, it's okay. No, it's all fine. There's a bit of pain, but at the end of the day, as soon as Olive came and got put on Cass's chest, the first thing she said was, "I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy." No matter what happened before, No matter what she just went through, I am so happy in this moment right now. It's incredible the way that changed. The pain, you know, I asked her just yesterday, would you describe labor as being enjoyable? She said, well, not really. I mean, you don't put your hand up to say, all right, I really want to experience that pain again. Was it fun? Oh, I don't think you could describe it as fun. But here's the thing. The fact that we, again, parents go back and we have multiple children sometimes is the fact that you know what the goal, you know what the prize is at the other end of what you end up going through. And through the pain, there was this prize, there was this beautiful child at the end of that day. And it wasn't the pain of the moment that brought the joy, but it was the focus on what was to come at the end that enabled joy to remain right through and for us to go back for another. And look at the way the author of Hebrews describes it here, how Jesus felt. And it's Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and that cloud of witnesses, just so you know, were all the heroes of the faith who faced their own trials, and they are looking down and they are cheering us on. They say, let us also, us, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It was the joy that was set before him that he knew by being able to endure, wasn't enjoying, it was enduring the cross, the suffering of the cross, that he would be saving you and me if we choose to believe in him. And by knowing Jesus, by making him Lord over our lives, we get to experience that same joy because we know that what is here is temporary, yeah? And having an eternal perspective allows us to put aside that weight. And let's be honest, like, life is heavy sometimes, right? We end up carrying a lot, whether it's in our relationships or whether it's in our work situation or whether it's just everything. There's just so much weight that can be involved in life. And it's temporary. He's saying, let me give you perspective on this so that you can have joy in what you're doing. Jesus is the great burden lifter. So in closing, I just wanted to give you three quick things of how we have joy, even through the hard times. The first one is quite simple. The first one is we need to know Jesus. That is the start. We need to know God. True joy has its origins in him. And we can't really know joy, true joy, without knowing Jesus. Jesus is our joy. Number two, once we know God, we need to understand that we can actually have joy in and through the trials. In James, it says we should ask for wisdom and God will give it to us. And I think that's so important for us to have wisdom so that we can actually have understanding of the perspective and have perspective of what we're actually going through. To take a step back, I mean, the trial, that video of Olive, the trial that she was facing, we can look back on that. As we look back, as we step back and as we take perspective of that, we get to say, hey, we can make it through this. It's going to be okay. There is more ice cream in your life to come. You know that. And number three, and this is really crucial for us, we need to fix our focus. It was Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He knew what was coming. He knew what was ahead. He knew saving our lives of what was ahead and meeting him in heaven was to come. And as we fix our eyes on Jesus, and the eternity we have, we spend with him, our joy can be unwavering. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So this last scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18, again, gives us perspective. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So what do? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's just bow our heads. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that that we can have joy even through the darkest of times, Lord God, because we know you, Jesus. And so, Father, I just pray that as we go tonight, as we seek joy in our lives, we know that we can do that by continually fixing our focus on you, looking forward to what is to come, Lord God. Father, I pray for people here who are just really struggling in that moment of joy, or seeing that there's just a lot of darkness around in their life at the moment. Father, I pray that they would have an eternal perspective about what is going on right now. They would be able to see the light and know that you are there in the midst of it, able to walk through it with them. Oh, you are walking through it with them. So, Father, we just give you all that we have. So have your way in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.